Checkpoint Charlie, as named by the Western Allies, was the best-known crossing point between East Berlin and West Berlin during the years of the Cold War, 1947 to 1961. Allied guards began registering members of the American, British, and French forces before trips to East Berlin, and foreign tourists could find out about their stay there. Well, on this second Sunday of Advent, the scriptures demand that to get to dear little baby Jesus, we have to go through Checkpoint John at the Jordan River. At this checkpoint, we will be examined for our integrity, our repentance, our fruits of justice, before we can even approach the adult Jesus. Well, John is not an elegant preacher, a person of the establishment, or someone who would make the most acceptable parishioner. He is disturbing, rough, unkempt, and blunt. He is, in a word, peculiar. But he found his voice in the desert's eloquent silence. Shaggy dress, he is clothed like Elijah. He eats the ritually pure food of the poor. So who or what in your life do you write off as odd or peculiar? How might God be present to you through these odd and peculiar people? Well, the people are still drawn to John, listening to his preaching, going to be baptized. And the wilderness is not just the physical place in which the Baptist preaches. The desert is also the barren places of our hearts through which we must cut a trail of repentance. The biblical repentance to which John summons us is much more than just saying, I'm sorry, being sorry. Repentance implies a radical change in our attitudes and matters of the heart, a total transformation of our priorities, the beginning and end of everything that is in us that is not of God. It requires a shaking up of the regular, daily routines of how we choose to belong to God and to each other in harmony. It's interesting that the lectionary pairs this harsh-sounding gospel with the Old Testament prophecy of lush, luxurious comfort. The prophet Isaiah paints an incredibly utopian vision of the future of God's movement. Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom is among the loveliest passages in the Bible, one of my favorites. Isaiah evokes the harmony of the original creation. He shows us what a peaceful garden the world was meant to be and will be again according to the will of God. Wolves will no longer trouble lambs. The passage reminds me of the story of St. Francis of Assisi. Look up here in the ceiling. Look up there. You see the taming of the wolf who terrified the people of the town of Gubbio, portrayed right before our eyes, the Isaiah passage. Yes, calves and lions cubs will keep company. Cows and bears will be neighbors. Snakes will no longer endanger children. Nonviolence will be the bedrock of the peaceful kingdom to come. The spiritual gifts of wisdom, understanding, and discernment will serve as pillars of this new divine order. So how can we apply Isaiah's vision to our current times? What if our systems of social, political, economic, cultural, and environmental oriented us to truly live in harmony, peace, and community? John the Baptist called for a new world order, a straightening out of crooked paths so that the Lord might walk among us. John made the choice stark and urgent. Repentance or the axe? A baptism of water or fire? The kingdom is imminent, but it does not come cheap. If we want the Prince of Peace to rule us, we must accept the conditions of a just society. And yes, this means doing the hard, dirty work of smoothing out disparities, renouncing luxuries, sharing with the poor, speaking publicly in defense of unpopular issues like immigration reform, universal health care, and the rights of every member of society. It means caring for the environment and cutting energy usage and waste, because the impact on poor communities is exponentially greater than elsewhere. Justice means we consume less so that others have more. We share more so that others suffer less. It's a simple formula with far-ranging results. So this second Sunday of Advent invites us to pass through Checkpoint John. Are we ready?